Right now, we head to the headquarters for the Potash Corp and visit with Dr. Robert McMullen. Good afternoon, Dr. McMullen.
Good afternoon, Mick. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. Let's see. Can I call you Bob or Robert or...
Robert's fine.
Okay, Robert. All right. And now the Potash Corporation, I know you guys are kind of all over the world, but where are you at today?
I'm actually at home. I work out of my home in northeastern Ohio.
A nice place. And any corn planting going on around you guys today?
Not that I've seen. We've seen some tillage implements. I actually saw some in the field yesterday. Some late prep work being done, but I have yet to see any corn planters running. There might be some in southern Ohio, but I haven't seen any in the northern part of the state.
And that's a little late, isn't it?
We're a little bit behind. If you look at the USDA crop progress, they still don't have us listed as having any acres planted as of yet. My guess is we've picked up some in the southern half of the state, but we're a little bit behind, just like the rest of the U.S., it seems like, at least in the Midwestern states.
Yeah, to the west of you, the I states are anywhere from one-fifth to one-tenth of the corn planted that they ought to have in the ground. So I guess we got some time to make some fertilizer decisions then.
You can. Every time we get into these late planted situations, that condenses all that spring activity, can make it a challenge, but if we're speaking with a grower or working with a farmer that maybe he didn't get his fall fertilizer put in place last year, he still has an opportunity to make some purchases and make some applications this spring.
Now, a lot of producers are using seed treatments these days. Seed treatments are really kind of cool because they do some specific things. Starter fertilizer, though, is something farmers have really jumped on the starter fertilizer bandwagon. Tell us a little bit about why that is going to return some good value to farmers.
Absolutely. I've always been a big fan of starters. I sort of view starters from a couple of different perspectives. Number one, it's a really good way to get that crop up and growing in the spring. And if we are talking about a late planted situation, like we're definitely setting ourselves up for this spring. Getting that crop off to a really good start, getting it up and growing as rapidly as we can be beneficial. The other thing that I typically look at when I think about starters, it's a really good insurance policy for the management strategy that the farmer has in place. That's specifically very important to those of us operating in the eastern Corn Belt, and even those in the central and western Corn Belt, if they rely a little more heavily on their side dress application of nitrogen. Putting down some nitrogen in a starter application can go a really long way in ensuring that crop has adequate nitrogen, so we don't run into any nitrogen deficiency.
All right,
application of nitrogen.
All right, now what is your favorite formula for starter? I mean, because there's liquid and there's granule, there's other. What's your favorite way of getting that starter fertilizer close to the seed?
You know, I'm an equal opportunity lover. I really don't have a form that I would suggest. It's all going to be predicated on what that farmer's capability is. Does he have a dry box still attached to that planter, which we're seeing fewer and fewer of these days, or has he moved to an all-liquid system? That's really what's going to dictate what he needs. As far as formulation, again, that's going to be very specific. It's going to be based upon what his soil test levels are, what his crop nutritional needs are based upon that soil test. And all of that goes into that decision that farmer needs to make about what starter best fits his program.
I know some people in Precision who are working with Precision Ag. They're working, not the company, but just the technology of just strict fertilizer, variable rate. And they are using their air seeder to get that fertilizer in the ground at exactly the right distance from the seed. I'm sure you're familiar with that, and do you encourage that?
I do. We do have a little bit of that here in the eastern Corn Belt. I know it's much more popular out in the western part of the central part of the U.S. where you guys grow a lot of corn and small grains. Great program. The only thing that I'm always when I talk to farmers about those types of applications is with those precision application techniques, make sure that nutrient is where it needs to be. We have some farmers that follow that here in Ohio. you just don't want to get that nutrient, specifically if it's at a higher rate, too close to that germinating seed. That's the only real risk that they have to mitigate is just how close does that application occur to the seed bed. And as long as they're far enough away, that is a great program for supplying the bulk of a plant's nutritional need for the growing season.
Is it too late to take a soil test?
Boy, that is a really good question. Technically, no. The challenge is going to be getting that information back in a timely fashion, working with your input supplier, your fertilizer dealer to make a purchase. We have argued this for years as academics. What is the best time to collect a soil sample? We have some individuals that really recommend spring. Some really promote fall. I'm a bigger fan of fall just because I have more time to collect information, make a decision, make a purchase. Technically it's not too late. It's just going to be a little bit of a time crunch to get that information processed back from the lab and work with the input supplier to make the purchase of the fertilizer. But technically speaking, no, it's not too late to collect the soil sample. And if a farmer hasn't done that and he does want to collect some information about his soil, he still has time to do that.
Maybe he wants to verify how much nitrogen he lost over the winter. We had pretty open winter and a lot of freeze-thaw situations.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. That was very important. The year previous when we had the really severe drought across much of the Midwest, that was a really good program for farmers to follow to figure out just how much of the nitrogen that they had supplied for that drought crop was going to be around for that next crop. So if there's interest from the farming community to collect that kind of information, absolutely get out there with your soil probes and get to work.
All right. How about patience when it comes to planting? Don't rush out there, whether it's either too wet, too dry. Why is that important?
Oh, the biggest risk, I mean, there's also risks associated with dry planting, and that usually comes from we planted a little bit too shallow. By far our biggest risk of planting when conditions aren't ideal is if it's a little bit too wet. And I invariably see this every year. There's always areas across the Midwest where it's a little bit wet, and they get in there, and I don't blame them. I understand the farmer mentality. He's got a lot of acres to cover. But if we get in there when that soil is just a little bit too wet, maybe we have the down pressure on our gauge wheels and our closing wheels set a little bit too high. We can cause sidewall compaction of that root furrow. And essentially what you do is you cut that individual plant's root volume in half. It just won't be able to penetrate physically where that compaction has occurred. So the one thing that we preach a lot of as agronomists when it comes to planting is, man, avoid those situations where your soil is a little bit wet. And if you do have to make that, if you do have to get out there and get that crop planted, and again, I understand that if it's a little bit wet and they're calling for more rain over the next 3 or 4 days, you just want to get that crop in the ground. Do adjust the pressure of the gauge wheels and the closing wheels. Set that a little bit lighter so you minimize the risk of causing that sidewall compaction.
Now, if we do start getting rain or delayed planting, you're talking about changing the population in the field. Now, how do you determine that decision?
Yeah. The research that seems to be coming out of the universities, we don't necessarily have to change seeding rates. There is a trade-off. Most of the work comes out tells us that the optimum seeding rate stays fairly consistent. The one thing that might change is if we are a little bit delayed in we get into the point where the soil temperatures are relatively high and we've got good moisture. That's the other really big factor in this is that you have good moisture. Maybe you can cut that seeding rate just a little bit because your germination should be a little bit better. But I'm a little bit cautious to do that unless I'm very certain that soil temp's at a point and soil moisture is adequate where I can still plant at that inch and a half, inch and three quarter, 2 inch depth. I'm going to get that good germ. So the data really doesn't suggest we have to cut seeding rates, but if soil temps are high, you might be able to cut that a little bit. And we're not talking a huge percentage, maybe 5% decrease seeding rate, things of that nature, but we really don't want to see those change too dramatically.
I see the soil temperatures have really warmed significantly over in your part of the country last week or so.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're about to hit another cold stretch, so I'm not sure how that's going to affect us. Our biggest thing right now is soil temps are up. We're still just a hair wet. We got another rainfall event that came through much of the state this morning. Unfortunately, that's going to set us back probably at least another day. But in unfortunately, that front was associated with some cooler temps, so we're not going to dry out and warm up as quick as we'd like.
All right. Dr. Robert Mullen, Director of Agronomy PCS Sales for Potash Corp. Picked your brain pretty thoroughly. Take a moment here and tell us about the value of potash in how the plant develops.
Absolutely. Obviously, being Potash Corp, we spend a large amount of our time educating on the use of potassium as a fertilizer material. The biggest benefit that we often see from potassium has to do with how that impacts that plant's ability to use water out of that soil profile efficiently. This becomes really important as we again, we're talking about this late planted situation. The worst case scenario for us from a crop development perspective with this type of a late spring is that we don't have that crop adequately fertilized, and we're not able to capitalize on that moisture profile as efficiently as we possibly could. And God forbid we run into that situation where we start running out of moisture later in the season. That can result in some serious yield hits. So ensuring that you have adequate potassium for this crop going into this growing season, it's always a critical factor, but it seems to be even more critical when we're talking about a late planted situation.
All right, Dr. Robert Mullen, agronomy sales for Potash Corp. I would assume you have more fertilizer crop nutrient tips on your website?
Absolutely. The website is potashcorp-economics, spelled with a K, .com.
Excellent. All right, Dr. Robert Mullen. Thanks so much, Robert, for spending a little time with us. We appreciate it a lot.
Mick, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good rest of the week.